Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. You made it to Friday, February 9th. I'm your host, Stephen Overly. We all watched the rapid demise this week of a bipartisan deal to expand U.S. border security. But tucked inside the proposal was hundreds of millions of dollars for new technology along the southern border. The latest sign of just how central surveillance, detection, and communication systems have become to the U.S. government's response. Teresa Cardinal Brown tracks all this technology closely as a senior advisor at the Bipartisan Policy Center.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And while some of it has long been around, Teresa told me that systems in place today are increasingly powerful. For instance, many remote areas are monitored by high-tech surveillance towers rather than agents.
There are fixed towers with all kinds of equipment, you know, whether it's audio or visual technology. There are mobile units that, you know, go out into remote sections of the border and then, you know, elevate up and can be moved from location to location.
Agents in the field carry handheld devices that can collect and process migrants' biometric data in real time.
And that can send them a response that says, oh, based on this fingerprint, we have identified this is somebody we've seen before, or there's an outstanding wanted warrant, so this is how you're going to have to deal with them.
And there are technologies to uncover underground tunnels used by drug smugglers, or to catch people transporting even trace amounts of illegal fentanyl.
So if we're going to invest in something we call non-intrusive detection or non-intrusive inspection, NII technologies, it's any of those things like gamma ray or x-ray technology that can look through a vehicle.
But even with all of these gamma rays and motion sensors, sometimes the old school approach still wins out.
Sometimes that miraculous nose on the front of a dog is our best way of detecting a concealed person or drugs in a vehicle.
That's fascinating. Even with all this technology,
the
nose of the canine.
Sometimes the nose of the canine is still the best option.
Fido aside, there's no denying that technology is a growing component of border security. Earlier this week, Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas announced plans to recruit 50 experts for a new AI core that will use artificial intelligence to tackle problems including fentanyl and cyber attacks. But not everyone is comfortable with it. Democrats and immigration advocates are pushing back on what they see as over-surveillance, particularly of American citizens just living along the border. That could be a whole different show, and might be in the future. On the show today, Teresa and I delve into political tensions over border technology and the tech that seems to be working, the tech that isn't, and what she thinks deserves more attention. Senate Republicans have officially blocked this attempt at a bipartisan border security package that was introduced this week, but it would have allocated hundreds of millions of dollars for new technology at the border. What provisions were notable to you from that and were being sort of discussed as part of this potential package?
So there's a few things. There was this investment in non-intrusive inspection technology, $424.5 million for acquisition and deployment of technology, particularly to try to identify fentanyl. Another $260 million for what they're just calling border security technology, from surveillance to localized equipment to whatever. And $74 million for acquisition and deployment of air assets. There was funding for setting up this new asylum process, which would require a brand new set of agencies to be created in USCIS. And anytime you create a new agency, you have to create the technology to go along with it. So that means, you know, forms and storage and databases. There's money in here for DNA testing. One of the concerns that has been raised is that not everybody who comes to the border claiming to be a family may actually be a family. And so one of the options available to CBP is to do DNA testing to confirm familial relationships. So, I mean, there's lots of pieces in here that have technology. And I think there's, interestingly enough, border technology has, for the longest time, had very strong bipartisan support. it wasn't something that was terribly partisan. I think some Democrats have started to question the large investments just in border security overall, the surveillance that is now pervasive in border communities, and how much of that is aimed at the border and how much of that is spilling over into the communities. I think that's been a concern for some. So it's not without controversy that all of this is going on.
The technologies that you're seeing here, do these seem like a continuation of a lot of the technologies that are already being deployed? Or do you sort of see any emerging areas that may have new promise and potential when it comes to addressing some of these challenges at the border?
I think at the end of the day, we're dealing with people. And so there's going to be no substitute for, you know, people dealing with people. The technology is an assist for the people. And so I think that's sort of a fundamental to understanding how we incorporate technology when we're talking about dealing with migration. I think what I saw in this bill is a lot of sort of investments in the things we know already work. But I would say probably one of the biggest areas of investment right now, two biggest areas, biometrics continues to be an area of investment because there's still a law in the books that requires us to biometrically check everyone who leaves the country. And we haven't quite figured out how to do that in a way that, again, keeps people moving through airports or out land borders. And I think these AI, like looking at where and how can AI be deployed to assist lots of different functions, targeting, adjudication, any of these things, and do so in a way that protects privacy and is over time going to ensure correct outcomes.
Border security technology has traditionally been nonpartisan, as you said, but they're starting to see some change there. What are the political breakdowns here, and how is that controversy kind of affecting the approach to technology at the border?
Well, I think particularly among immigration advocates and border communities themselves are seeing what they're calling the militarization of the border. Obviously, we have armed patrols along the border, and I'm not just talking about what's happening in Texas with the National Guard, but our Border Patrol is armed. They are patrolling the border. We have walls and fences and barriers. We have this surveillance technology, many of which has been adapted from Defense Department technologies. And so they see that as sort of an encroachment on their own lives at the border. And I think what we're starting to hear more, particularly from immigration advocates in some border communities, but also from the Democratic side, is we have invested trillions of dollars at this point, mostly since 9/11, in all of this technology, infrastructure, personnel, equipment at the border. And has it all been necessary? Is it too much? What more do we really need to do? And is it the right approach to really addressing the threats at the border? And I think that's especially true when we think about addressing migration, because some of this, right, you know, has been a strategy that has been in place at the border for decades now of prevention through deterrence. But clearly, if you just look at what's happened in the last decade, that strategy is not as effective as it once was in the past. And that's due to a lot of different factors, including a huge paradigm shift in who is coming to the border and why. The fact that instead of trying to sneak around and not be detected and not be caught by Border Patrol, you have literally hundreds, sometimes thousands of people a day turning themselves into Border Patrol, which means the surveillance was designed to detect people trying to sneak in. And here we have hundreds of thousands of people walking up to the fence and going, hey, come get me. Like, that's a whole different paradigm from what we were trying to do.
Well, and that, I think that's a fascinating conversation because, you know, one of the questions I have is all of this technology that's been deployed, particularly along the southern border of the U.S. I guess the question I have is sort of, has all of this technology worked? Has it helped in a way that feels tangible?
I think it has. And the reason I would say that is that in the 2010s, the number of encounters of people trying to cross the border illegally was at record lows until we started seeing unaccompanied children, people from Central America, families coming and asking for asylum. And that started what I call this paradigm shift. First of all, a couple of things that it's really worth understanding for listeners about, like, how the border actually works. All of this technology and equipment is not on the border. It is inside the border. And that is true because, one, if we were to direct any of this surveillance technology into Mexico, Mexico would say, hey, you're surveilling us. That's not, no,
right,
you don't do that. We're sovereign territory. So all of this stuff is actually inside our territorial border. So once somebody arrives, say, at the fence or the wall, whatever you want to call it, they have already crossed into the United States. And then it is our legal responsibility under law. We have to then do something with them. And our law also explicitly says that you are allowed to apply for asylum no matter how you come to our territory. So if they want to ask for asylum and they have walked up to the fence, it's their right to do so. Our law allows that with very limited exceptions. And I think administrations, the last three administrations, have tried to see if they can work those exceptions to be bigger, but that's what it says. So, you know, when we think about, you know, why has not all of this investment in technology and security at the border not continued to work with this group of arrivals? It's because all of that technology and all of that infrastructure and all of our processes were built for the purpose of detecting and identifying people trying to sneak in and evade apprehension. They weren't built to really, because if your intention is not to get caught, then you might be deterred if the chances of you getting caught are higher because of all the technology. But if your intention is not to sneak in, it's to make people know you're there so you can turn yourself in and ask for asylum, then all that technology does is let you wave at them and say, hey, come get me.
Got it. So a lot of it was built for just a different purpose than what is really needed today.
It was built for a fundamentally different purpose. And now one of the structural challenges for Customs and Border Protection and Border Patrol especially is in dealing with all these people who are turning themselves in, have they lost the capacity to identify and interdict the people who still are trying to come in undetected? Because the surveillance equipment may detect them, and they are, but they don't have any people free to go after them because they're dealing with all the people that have turned themselves in. That's a real operational issue, that all the technology in the world won't prevent somebody from coming. The point is that we have to then go arrest them. We have to go get them. And if we're not able to do that, either they successfully evade or we just don't have anybody to send there to go get them, then that is a failure. And that is something we need to address.
We'll be right back. And so I guess, you know, we look to the future. If the purpose and the needs have changed, you know, what kind of technology are experts saying is needed now to address the border challenges that we're facing today?
So if we're just looking at these people who are arriving seeking asylum, there is new technology that they're deploying. So this app called the CBP-1 app would allow migrants and does allow migrants to apply for an appointment at a port of entry where they can go and turn themselves in and ask for asylum rather than sneaking across the border. So again, getting back to that question of can we get Border Patrol back to looking for the people who are really trying to sneak in? The idea is, can we divert people who are crossing between ports of entry back to ports of entry and where we have more ability to control the situation and process them in an orderly fashion? That app, widely acknowledged, had glitches when it was first introduced. It was a variation of the app that people who fly into the United States can use to enter their customs declaration before they get to the inspector. So it was very quickly created and deployed. It's been evolved since then. It was only available in a limited number of languages, and we have people from all around the world. And it's geofenced so that you could only use it from north of Mexico City in Mexico, which meant we weren't actually using it for people who hadn't yet made the trek. But having this information meant that people were giving advanced information to the port of entry. So some of that data fields filling in could be done. Some of the background checks might be able to be done based on the biographic information that it was submitted ahead of time. So any advanced information kind of gets you ahead of the game from the inspection side before somebody arrives. And now they're looking at other sorts of technology. They created these safe mobility offices that State Department runs with international organizations and countries in Central and Latin America, where people can apply online and put in some information, and it would be evaluated to see if they might qualify for refugee or asylee status before they depart wherever they're at. So trying to do more of this sort of online, let migrants sort of take more control of their own status from where they are, and hopefully mean that fewer people feel that the only choice they have is to just come to the border between ports of entry and wave at a Border Patrol agent and a camera. That's the hope. And I think there are other things that they're looking to do with technology as well, but technology works on the other side too. One of the reasons so many migrants are coming is because they have access to a lot more information about the process. So, for example, we're encountering record numbers of Chinese migrants at the U.S.-Mexico border, many of whom have come via, you know, they flew into South America to a country that has visa-free travel for Chinese and then made their way up through the Darien. And people who have interviewed these people say they had basically WhatsApp groups and Facebook groups that told them everything they would encounter along the way. And here's where you stop and get your water. And here's where you can get food. It was like a travel.
Wow, a whole like pipeline of communication information. That's fascinating.
I mean, for those of us who are a certain age and remember when AAA used to give us triptych maps for our road trips, it's a triptych map for how to migrate up through South America to the border. So the migrants themselves are accessing technology to give them more information about the process. The smugglers are using technology to keep track of who's paid them for the smuggling routes. So there's technology throughout this process, and it is on both sides. And that's why, you know, traditionally, Border Patrol will tell you it's always been a little bit of a game of cat and mouse. Whatever we do, the smugglers figure out a way to get around it or avoid it or counter it. And that's happening with migration a little bit, too. The technology race is true on both sides.
I just wonder, you know, with this technology that's always evolving, this cat and mouse game you're talking about, what is the right technology policy response here?
A few things that I think should be priorities right now. I think the growing backlogs in our immigration adjudication system at USCIS, both in asylum and just like employment authorization documents and people asking for work visas and green cards, they have a record number of cases pending at that agency. And they are decades behind in terms of electronic filing and being able to have remote decision-making capability and be able to move cases from one part of the country to another requires literally moving boxes. Investment in that and getting that agency into the modern age of technology for multiple purposes, not just so the department and agency has this stuff electronically and can move cases faster and more efficiently, but they could have a record of all of the previous cases that a migrant has filed in one location, and they can see that history and that can inform what they're doing. And it can also help the migrant. Why do I have to fill out the same information on four separate forms I am filing at the same time? That makes no sense, right? In this day and age, I should be able to fill it out once and pre-populate all the other stuff. So we need to invest in that technology. Immigration courts are even further behind. We need to get them in the modern age as well. That would help with the backlogs of adjudication that we need. So I think that should be a key point of investment for the federal government. When we're looking at the border itself, I think we've invested in a lot of technology in this deterrence and defense and surveillance stuff. I think more investment in the technologies that migrants can use to inform themselves, not just rely on smugglers and fellow immigrants' WhatsApp groups, but they can have more information in the palm of their hands and can do some of these applications long before they get to the border and find out, at least preliminarily, you might have a case, you might not have a case. Like, give them more information to make better decisions, because we know from statistics that many of the migrants probably will not at the end of the day qualify for asylum. And then what happens? They're already here. They've been here for years. And the chances that we're going to be able to deport them are much smaller. So like we'd be better off, I think, to investing in, as counterintuitive as this sounds, giving migrants more information. You know, some will say, oh, that's just giving them information on how to come to the border. They already have the information about how to come to the border illegally. Let's give them information about how to come to the border legally and have that be a better choice for them. I think those kind of investments, given what we're seeing at the border right now, probably would pay off a little more than further investments in deterrence or detection technology.
Well, so much great information here. Teresa, thank you so much for joining us on Politico Tech.
You're quite welcome.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. And our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. See you back here on Monday.